Welcome to Digital Conversations, a podcast about using digital channels to engage your prospects and customers and make more money.
All right, everyone. Welcome to Digital Conversations. I am your host, Billy Bateman, and today I am joined by Jamie McCoy, Digital Director at Consenna. Jamie, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Billy.
Yeah, excited to have this conversation, man. Before we get into it, though, just tell us a little bit about yourself and about Consenna.
Yeah, so I joined Consenna just at the tail end of 2020. I'd spent a couple of years in the agency space doing demand generation and lead generation for software vendors, software offers, hardware OEMs, all of that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we've got a real good insight working with actually directly with a lot of the kind of resellers and understanding a lot of their challenges. And then, you know, coming to Consenna, we do a lot of programs directly with OEMs, with some of the largest OEMs kind of on the planet, which is it brings its own challenges and its own opportunities. So it's always no 2 days are the same, which is always good fun.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys have a lot of big clients. I don't know if you can name them or not, but you work with a lot of impressive companies. So and that's what we're going to talk about is how do you build a reseller program, especially like what's the difference between a bad one and a good one? So let's first start off with like why a company would consider a software or even a hardware company would consider a reseller program and the benefits around that.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, the first is always volume, right? I mean, you know, you can deal with 10, 20, 100, 200 resellers who can reach a much larger audience a lot quicker. They have a lot more resource, but strength by numbers. What it also then kind of allows you to do is, you know, you wouldn't drive that same level of sales volume through your own single brand. It's just too hard to get that much share of wallet or share of market space. So it helps to diversify a little bit. And the other point being, you know, it's a marketplace. The reseller space has been around for a long time. There's now a wide audience. And that's the only place that they purchase these types of things because they can browse around different products, different services, different authors. And it's almost a bit of a hygiene factor. You know, your competition are all here in this space and you kind of have to be there. You kind of have to be part of it now. So it's a great space to find that stuff, but it's fiercely competitive, really, really difficult.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then what are some of the struggles and pitfalls? Like, you know, we have affiliates at ChatFunnels. It's great, but I know there are some areas where you can step in it. What are some of the struggles of having a large reseller program?
Yeah, well, like some of the struggles really become each of these individual businesses are, you know, they are individual. They'll usually have limited resource. You know, they'll usually be quite lean in terms of staff, in terms of FTE. Mm-hmm. So they're quite precious on time. The profit margins for them usually are lean too. And what you typically find is that actually a lot of these resellers will be heavily weighted towards the resource will be heavily weighted as a percentage towards actual sales teams and the kind of sales engines. So they spend a lot of time, or they want to spend as high a percentage of their time as possible selling, because that's what keeps them in business and keeps them going. And for that, you know, product knowledge is vital when you're speaking about this stuff. You're speaking to a decision maker in a business. You need to know what you're speaking about. And if you've got two or three or four OEMs that you work with and they've got 15, you know, families of products, which all have, you know, what's the difference between an i7 or an i9 processor to a finance director or an IT director, that can be hard to keep up with. Yeah. So they can get, you know, they can get spread pretty thin pretty quickly. And each of the resellers, they all have their own business challenges, staff leaving, staff turnover, you know, different bit challenges within the business, you know, and their own software needs and stuff. So there's a whole myriad of things that come into that. It can be really difficult to harness the power of it successfully. You find a lot of OEMs will put a lot of energy into resellers, and whether they put that energy in or not, the kind of level stays at a kind of flat line and they can't really seem to influence it or harness it, which can be a real frustration sometimes.
Yeah. So let me ask you a couple questions about that. So product knowledge is one thing you talked about a little bit. So if I'm putting the reseller program out there, and then you also talked about, you know, staff turnover. And I think, you know, you put a ton of time, I know, with our own sales team, making them experts on the product, you know, because that's, we don't have sales engineers. Like, you know, if you're the sales guy, you should know the product, know how to sell it. How does a reseller, where do we put your, what's the best way for them to put resources into educating their partners on products? Where have you seen success? What are, what's not a good idea? How have they done that well?
Historically, it's not done particularly well. What usually seems to be, what are always the top performing conversion tools or campaigns are the longest running, because they've been there so long that folk eventually get time to learn what they are. You know, what really happens is there's a lot of wasted energy on projects or incentives which are really, really good ideas, just not given either long enough time or a strong enough rollout. You know, if you try and put yourself into the end impacted user of everything that you do when you're trying to do this reseller channel stuff is the sales guy, you know, the guy who's actually on the phone trying to sell to these businesses. Yeah. He's got 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week. He wants to be selling 30 to 50. Yeah. He wants to be selling all of that time, right? He doesn't want to have to take an hour to understand your latest incentive and why it's going to help him sell more. Has to be really clean messaging, really nice and simple. Conceptually easy, not tons of terms and conditions and stuff. If there's too many loopholes, it's just too difficult for the sales guy to get in. If he's not speaking about it, nobody else knows about it, right? The customers never find out about it. So really, it's just about trying to give something enough time and enough support. You know, one training session with the resellers isn't enough. You need to give ongoing support. So actually, a lot of success can be had just by simplifying the messaging a little bit, simplifying what you're asking of. You know, the reseller sales guys, as I said, they could be dealing with three programs per OEM, and he may have three or four of them as part of his network. So it could be 12 different things he's trying to learn over a couple of months and manage his pipeline and work his data and, you know, do his callbacks, his relationship, do his job. So it's you can see how they kind of can get a little frazzled with stuff, and then they think, I'm just going to stick to what I know, because if I graft really hard with that, I know what I'll get success-wise, which leaves a lot of opportunity on the table, because none of the campaigns and none of the projects that the OEMs put in place are bad. You know, they're all actually pretty good. You know, it's discounts or it's cashbacks or it's incentives. It's just the guys don't have the capacity to figure it all out, and it's difficult for them, and therefore it doesn't land and expand as well as it should, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah. All right. So what I'm hearing, Jamie, is on the education of your partners, keep it simple. Not too many programs. Don't roll out a new program every month. And be consistent. One or two, you know, a couple options, not too many. And then constant, you know, outreach and just, you know, educating them on what's new within your product, and maybe any changes to pricing and offerings, keep them very simple.
Yeah, it's just about support. Everything that you do should be trying to lighten the load for these sales guys. You know, whoever cracks the back of that will have the most success, because that's who the sales guy is going to want to sell most of, because it's easier for him to sell. He doesn't care what brand he sells. He just wants to sell and make his bonus, doesn't he? So you've got to make that as easy as possible for him. You know, it's not rocket science, but sometimes we can try and be so clever with things that we forget who the end, you know, who's the end user of it. And if they're not engaged, then, you know, we're all busy fools.
Yeah, for sure, man. Okay. So if I'm going to be successful with a reseller program, like, how do I successfully harness the full potential of it?
Yeah. So, I mean, at the start of all of these things, what I always try and do when I'm working with these campaigns and these projects is every idea that you have is always based on an assumption, isn't it? It's always, you know, we think this is what's happening, and therefore we've designed this solution, and that's a really good solution. So what's always key is, rather than delivering that solution, which can be quite expensive, can be quite a long process, based on the assumption, is to kind of flip it and test, figure out how we test that assumption first. You know, so when we're speaking, then you can speak from a place of knowledge, and then you know whether that idea will actually work or not. So that's always key for me, is, you know, if you're bringing out a new program, which is, you know, a cashback or an incentive or a whatever, it's to understand how do I find out quickly whether this is actually going to have the impact that I want or not? You know, I don't want to run this campaign for 3 months and then learn that that's not what the challenge is that we're trying to overcome. You know, so I think it's always, for me, it's kind of like that scene in Friends when Joey gets into the map. It's kind of like, that's what I try and do every time is, you know, try and sit in the seat of the sales guy and think, okay, if I had a sales target and I'm really tight on time and my inbox is really busy. And even, you know, even if you're having a qualified conversation with a prospect on some devices and they decide to change their mind to actually, no, I want to speak about these ones, that can actually be pretty stressful for the sales guy because he's not sure if they apply to the same program that he's been speaking about, if he can get the same discounts, are they still in stock, how long is the delivery time? There's a lot that he has to prepare just to be agile, you know, and he really can't be agile. So, you know, it's keeping them in mind and thinking, is this going to help them sell more? And really, everything we try and do and try and support is on, you know, is on sellout, is on helping deliver sales and trying to think of your marketing activity actually as pre-sales and not marketing and sales. You know, they're two sides of the same coin. And it's kind of like, this is the bit before you sell. This isn't, we'll do all of this stuff and then you try and sell stuff, which can sometimes happen. So strengthening that relationship between what you're doing to support in the marketing and involving them in that conversation and in that process. You know, we do a lot of stuff where we try and automate as much of it as possible, you know, because we know, you know, we've validated the assumption that we had that a lot of the resellers don't have large marketing teams. They don't have large data lists to work. They don't have even large sales teams. They've got kind of small to medium size, maybe 3 to 5 sales staff. You know, they're not huge businesses. Yeah. So what would be the best way to help them sell more stuff is to do all of that for them and just run all of the automated marketing, make sure that it's all focused on clean messaging around what's in stock or what's on offer or whatever the latest piece is, and then delivering that intent opportunity over to them, you know, in a timely manner. You know, here are all the form fills, the downloads, the intents, the leads, the opens, the clicks. Give it to your sales guys and they can walk through that. And this is what they were sent and this is what they've engaged in, so that you know what conversation you're calling to have. And then the sales guy's loving life because he just has to look at what's been sent and then phone people and speak to them about it. Yeah. These are the people that were interested in it, so phone them and speak to them and they don't have to think about anything else, you know. So it's really trying to tie that back together. And then by doing that, you know, you can start to piece together a bit of what the OEMs really struggle with is visibility. And not visibility of performance, because they know who sells what and how much and what margin, but what's coming. They don't get any visibility of the pipeline until it's sold. You know, they don't know what the resellers are working on. It's hard to get that information from each of the resellers. You don't know how many do you have ready to close next month. What's your realistic pipeline that you're working towards? They don't know. Yeah. Because you don't know, it's hard to influence. You know, you could have, by speaking to them, found out that actually if you give me 5% discount on the rates of these devices, I'll bring in an extra 70 grand next month because that's what everyone's waiting on or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know that, you can't do it. So it's trying to plug all of that visibility together and having, you know, the pre-sales marketing, the pipeline and the sellout all in the one ecosystem and all in the one feed so that everyone can see what's going on and how to influence it. That's where the real power is.
Yeah, no, I that makes sense. And it goes back to something we've been seeing just in the market that, you know, we used to have sales and marketing. They were very separate organizations, although they work together fairly well. But we're seeing a lot of organizations bring them all together under like a growth or a revenue title. And so that there's just more insight, both from the marketing on, you know, where's the pipeline, how's it doing? Because, you know, marketing's like, hey, we gave you these leads, and sales half the time says, yeah, they were crap.
That's it. Yeah.
You know, and then vice versa. The sales team is like, where are all of our leads? You know, we're not getting enough. So by bringing them together, they're helping to solve that problem a little bit by putting it under one umbrella. And it sounds like, you know, with a reseller program, you need to, although you're separate, you need to have the same approach. Really get that insight back from your resellers. You know, what does their pipeline look like? Where are the holdups? How can you support them? And vice versa, give them more insight into what's happening to these leads before they come to them.
That's exactly it. You know, like we would sit in the middle of that. So we would sit, you know, on the side of the OEM and know that this is the main target, as you're saying, this growth banner that we're all sitting under. This is what we're trying to deliver in terms of revenue or growth or whatever. But each of the resellers has a slice of that, and that's all really they're interested in. And so you need to make sure both have what they need, and you don't get the pounds without looking after the pennies. So it's really trying to make sure that each of the resellers feel supported, they don't feel distracted, they know exactly what's expected of them, when it's expected, and that you're doing everything you can to help them sell more stuff. Because as we said, you know, they don't care what it is that they sell. They don't care if it's this laptop or that laptop or this software or that software. They're agnostic. They're not interested. That's not what their business is. Their business is, you know, selling any of it. And if you can say, look, this is the stuff that's easiest to sell right now because there's lots in stock, you can get it delivered, you know, or you can be signed up within 20 minutes or it can be delivered within a week. And there's this incentive running that means that they can get money off or they can get cash back if they trade in old devices or whatever it looks like. Then they know exactly what it is that they're expected to sell, how to sell it, and why it'll sell, and they could just go and do their job. And you know, one of the kind of best parts in my career coming to where I'm at now is, you know, previously when I had worked in marketing teams that were separate from sales teams, right? And then when I was at the agency side, we were doing demand gen and we were doing lead gen. So I had to sit with the sales guys and understand what was happening with these, you know, as you said, we're delivering all of these clicks. Why is nobody selling anything? They're rubbish, that's the wrong people, it's the wrong data, it's out of date, our phone, all of that usual stuff. So that was really good experience for me for coming into this space and coming into this role to really understand like, what are the challenges. And you really need to be supporting and holding the hand and helping the reseller and the end sales guys, because they want to sell. You know, they're not selling because they don't want to. They really, really want to. Yeah. You need to make it really easy for them and they'll do it. And if you can get them on side and really empower them, the results are, you know, phenomenal. And then when you multiply that across a channel of 200 resellers, you can double or triple your revenue just by really cleaning up the messaging and making it really simple to just sell your stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I love it, man. I love it. Before we end, I want to ask you, Jamie, is there anything we haven't hit that you think we should talk about before we close?
No, I mean, everything, I'm pretty pragmatic with everything. And I think, you know, I'm pretty blunt with a lot of things. And, you know, for me, again, it's just simplify it. I know that it's very tempting and very exciting to get, you know, all lost up in the stratosphere with complexity and automations and drip campaigns and triggered, which is all excellent stuff. And that's all the pre-sales activity. And there's not a ton of that really the sales guys care about. You know, they don't really care about what the journey's been. They care about what was the last thing that they engaged in and why did they engage in it? How should I be approaching them? What should I be speaking to them about? And keeping into context, you know, all of these resellers, you know, even just in the UK space, there's thousands and thousands, and I know there is globally, there's a huge, huge space for resellers. They're all contacting the same contacts at the same businesses. You know, so these IT directors and finance directors are getting 10 calls a month from you and your peers at your competitor businesses. So, again, making sure that they understand that and that it's, you know, it's a longer sales cycle on everything at the moment. Nothing's as commoditized and productized to be a one call close. It just doesn't happen. Relationship selling is making a massive resurgence, and you can bring that relationship piece into your tone and your language and your approach and the pre-sales marketing, and you know, really stamping that across, making sure the branding's nice and strong for the resellers and making sure that handover is as strong as possible. But once you crack that and you make it nice and easy for the resellers, those guys want to sell. You've just got to empower them for it. So
okay, well, if you're going to do a reseller program, the secret is make it easy for them, is what I'm hearing from Jamie. Okay, Jamie, dude, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate all of these insights. For the listeners, if you like what you're hearing, remember to rate, review, and subscribe, and you get more conversations like this every week. Thank you, Jamie, and we'll chat later.
Worries, Billy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And for past episodes, go to chatfunnels.com/podcast.